Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the very first podcast of Frank Discourse. I'm your host, Frank Vigeant. I want to welcome you and want to start off by just going over what you could expect to hear on this podcast. And it's going to be a podcast about everything, mainly about the discourse with other people, having conversations with people, hopefully get some people who I disagree with and whom disagree with me. That would be great. It's going to be a podcast about everything, about life, philosophies, current events, politics. Going to try to throw in some humor in there, not take ourselves too seriously. And hopefully maybe get some music in there, since it's one of my biggest passions. Another thing you can expect to hear on this podcast is honesty and truth. I will do everything in my power to be as honest as possible. Well, I'm going to be honest all the time. I will do everything in my power to be accurate and factually correct. Now, I will be wrong sometimes, and if I find out that I am wrong about something, I will make a correction and let you know about the correction. I am also going to try to be as very accurate and precise with my language and the words that I choose to use, because words mean things and words are very important and they all have different meanings. So I want to start off this first podcast with a very, very important topic, which it's a topic that I believe is vitally important if we're going to move forward in our society and in our country. And it's a topic of two different points and aspects that many people miss or they conflate, and they don't understand the difference between the two. Back in the 1950s, late 50s and early 60s, there was a guy, William F. Buckley Jr., who was known as the modern-day American conservative founder, grandfather of the modern-day American conservative movement. And he was friendly with a man by the name of Robert Welch. Robert Welch was the co-founder of the John Birch Society. And then John Birch Society started getting a little radical. They started getting very extreme. And they got so extreme that they called President Eisenhower a communist. And it was at that point where William F. Buckley Jr. basically put on the brakes and said, okay, no, guess what? You don't get to call yourselves conservative anymore. You've just crossed the line, and I'm drawing the line right now in the sand. We are conservative over here on this side. You are something else. You are something radical. You are something extreme, and we want no part of you. You do not get to call yourselves conservative. You're something else. And that was a very, very important thing that William F. Buckley did, was to draw that line. Now, I have been waiting for decades for liberals to do this with the left. And the reason why it's never really happened is because a question that never gets asked, so it's a question that has never been answered. And that is, when does the left go too far? We all know what it looks like when the right goes too far. Now, it's a very, very important distinction to make here between left and liberal. Because if you don't name things properly, then you can't define things. And if you can't define things, you can't understand things. It's like if you go to the doctor and you have cancer, and he diagnoses you with diabetes, and then he starts you on a regimen of diabetes medication, what chance do you have of defeating the cancer? Zero. And the cancer will just continue to metastasize and eventually destroy. So you need to name things properly and accurately. Again, going back to what I said before about being as accurate and precise with words as I possibly can. Now, when I use the term liberal, I'm talking the classic definition of liberal. And unfortunately, both conservatives, people on the right and left, both sides of the political fence, continue and constantly conflate these two terms, liberal and left. And they are two very, very different terms. And when I talk about liberal, and when I mentioned the term liberal, I'm talking about classic liberalism. Classic liberalism is what founded this country, founded the United States of America. It's what our founding fathers, it was their ideology. The conservatives back then were the ones who were supporting King George and was still supporting the monarchy and King George's rule over the colonies. And so that was the conservative stance back then. The liberal stance was liberty and freedom and independence from the king and from the English crown. So that's what I mean when I talk about liberal. It's the classic liberal. And then even going all the way up to, say, JFK, John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy, he was also a classic liberal. Now, he was a little further left than our founding fathers, but it was still a natural progression, and it's fair to even use that term as liberal. And that's what I mean. I'm talking about that kind of classic liberalism when I use the term liberalism. So the reason why it's important to make this distinction as well is because liberalism, like I said, is beautiful. It's a wonderful thing, and it is the basis of the structure of the United States of America, whereas the left is a wholly destructive force. I do not know of a case where the left does not destroy everything it touches. There may be a case, I am unaware of it. Every single thing the left touches, it destroys eventually. And if it doesn't destroy, then it's already damaged. And if it hasn't damaged it, it's diminished it. So the left has destroyed journalism, schools and colleges, the arts, sports, businesses, societies, economies, entire nations. Look at the Soviet Union, look at Cambodia, look at Cuba, look at North Korea. Liberalism builds and conservatism maintains. So what are some of these big differences between liberals and left? Well, one of them is free speech, the First Amendment. And the First Amendment, free speech, the right of free speech, is the foundational right which all other rights rest upon. It was the reason why back in the 1970s and late 70s, the ACLU supported the neo-Nazis marching in Skokie, Illinois. And it was a very particular egregious thing that the neo-Nazis wanted to do in Skokie, Illinois, because Skokie, Illinois was an area where many of the Holocaust survivors of World War II ended up and migrated when they came to the United States. So it was an exceptionally nasty and evil thing that the neo-Nazis wanted to do and march right there, but it was part of the First Amendment, and the ACLU rightly and correctly protected their right to march there. Now, today, the ACLU is no longer liberal. They are a purely leftist institution, and they would not support anything like that right now, because the left, they do not agree with free speech. They will claim that they, oh, we're for free speech, and this is the mantra that I love, is, oh, we believe in free speech, we just don't believe in hate speech. And what these people do not understand or realize is that hate speech is part of free speech. Free speech isn't speech you just want to hear. It's not speech that you just agree with. It's speech that can sometimes be ugly, can be hurtful, can be hateful. But that is the vital importance to keeping our right for free speech and keeping the First Amendment sacred, for lack of a better term. If you want to go into one of the least free environments in our country right now, then just go onto any college campus, almost any college campus. You'll have speech codes. More than 40% of under 35, more than 40% of Americans under 35 says government should be able to limit free speech. The new CEO of NPR says that the First Amendment is the number one challenge to journalism and for quote unquote correct information. And who's going to define correct information? Another, so that's the first, that's one of many differences between liberals and the left. The left wants to shut down free speech if they don't agree with it, and liberals want to uphold free speech whether they agree with it or not. Another difference between left and liberal, liberals believe in colorblindness when it comes to race. They believe that race is insignificant. Liberals are against racial segregation. And one of the great mantras, liberal mantras back from the 60s and 70s was, there is only one race, and that is the human race. The left says colorblindness, quote unquote, equals racism, that race is extremely significant, which is why they are for separate black graduations, separate black dormitories, and many colleges and universities are doing this. Georgetown University, University of Oklahoma, UCLA, UC Berkeley, Harvard, NC State, North Carolina State University, Columbia University, et cetera, et cetera. There's even speech codes in all these colleges, and within those speech codes, it'll state that statements like, oh, there's only one race, and that's the human race, they consider those quote-unquote racist comments. So again, liberals believe in colorblindness, in that race is insignificant. The left believes race is significant. Now, there's another group that also believed race was extremely significant. And that last group who believed that was a certain political party in Germany back in the 1930s and 40s. That's what the left has in common with those people back then. Another difference between liberal and left, liberals believe in free market and capitalism with limited regulation. They understand that with all its flaws, there's no other system that has lifted more people out of poverty than capitalism. Yes, they want more regulation than maybe even some modern day American conservatives do, but they still believe that it's a good system and it has mechanisms in it that create one of the fairest systems that has ever been created economically for all people. Now, the left is anti-capitalism. They believe in the Marxist critique of capitalism. And that's it's a subject that I definitely will explore in further podcasts. Liberals believe in a secure border. They believe in legal immigration. And the left believes in open borders. They deny that there's even a crisis going on at the border. They deny that over 10 million illegal immigrants have crossed the border during the last 4 years. So there are many differences. I can go on and on, but those are just a few differences between liberal and left. Now, the problem is that liberals, they don't vote these values. And what liberals don't understand is that your average modern-day American conservative share these exact same values. So liberals have about 1,000 times more in common with the modern day American conservative than they do with the left. It's just they don't realize this. They don't understand it. They would disagree with that statement without even understanding the truth of that statement. And even on something such as gay marriage, I mean, 10 years ago, less than 38% of the GOP supported gay marriage. Now it's over 55%. So even in 10 years, there's been this huge additional group in the GOP that now supports gay marriage. Liberals don't understand that leftism is anti-liberal. They believe in the leftist rhetoric that the right is their enemy. In fact, there was a book written back, I think in the 60s or 70s, and it was called Danger on the Right. So why do liberals believe the left? Well, one of the reasons is the left uses much of the same language as liberalism, and they use it quite often in the guise of compassion. The left are master manipulators of language. They are absolute expert masters of it. They manipulate it better than conservatives could ever dream of doing. And it all started back in the early 1900s, during the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution. I mean, the word right there, Bolshevik. The Bolshevik in Russian means majority. Now, Vladimir Lenin and company, they were actually the minority party. But what do they call themselves? They call themselves Bolsheviks as the majority. And Menshevik in Russian means minority. And they called their opponents, who actually had the political majority and the populist majority, they called them Mensheviks. It's the same thing. What was the newspaper, the official newspaper of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union? It was called Pravda. And what does Pravda mean in Russian? It means truth. They literally invert definitions to fit their agenda. They invert and they conflate definitions. Phrases like the aforementioned colorblindness. Another example of that is equality versus equity. Equality, as most people understand it, liberals and conservatives understand it, and even the people on the left understand it, equality is basically equality of opportunity. And that's what it means when we have historically and used that term equality. Equity has a completely different definition, and that is equality of outcome. And you will hear people in the Democratic Party, which is now a leftist party, it's no longer a liberal party, they are already using, and many of these people are liberals, okay, but they don't realize they've fallen for the leftist trick of conflating the two words. And they've quietly substituted the word equality for equity. Now they use the word equity. And people say, oh, well, they just mean equality. No, they don't. You might mean equality when you say equity, but you've fallen for their trap. Equity is equality of outcome. And personally, I can't think of a more evil, insidious, and horrible ideology than equality of outcome. It's called communism. And it's failed everywhere it's been tried. But I'm not going to go into that history lesson right now. Another thing that the left does incredibly well is they demonize their opponents. And again, this started back in the Soviet Union when Stalin called Trotsky a fascist. Trotsky wasn't a fascist. He was the furthest thing from it. Trotsky was a true believer in the communist cause. And what he saw Stalin doing to the Communist Party, to the communist movement, was against what he, from the beginning, and Vladimir Lenin stood for. He was a true believer in the spirit of communism, not understanding that it can only be run by the end of the barrel of a gun. So he called Trotsky a fascist, and that's when the demonization started with the left. So if you're against affirmative action, and this is how they demonize your opponents. If you disagree with them, you were demonizing. So if you're against affirmative action, say, yeah, it means you're a racist. If you're against gay marriage, you're a homophobe. If you have any criticism against radical Islam, you're an Islamophobe. If you're against illegal immigration and want a secure border, well, that's you're a xenophobe or a racist. They demonize everything instead of debating. It couldn't possibly. They think that they are so moral and that they have all the moral positions. So therefore, anybody who disagrees with them has to be a horrible person. They couldn't possibly understand that that somebody could be against affirmative action because they believe it demeans black people and it only hurts black people. They can't imagine that somebody believing or being against gay marriage could maybe be against it because they don't want to muddle the definition between male and female and the distinction between male and female. Any criticism of, they couldn't imagine that any criticism of radical Islam is because of the terrorist situation, the terrorist problem that Islamists and extreme fundamental Islamists believe in and carry out. Or they couldn't believe that anybody who wants a secure border and only wants legal immigration wants to do it because no country can withstand and long-term having 10 million people come across their borders within 4 years. And if that continues, the strain is going to put on the system that's at hand. They can't imagine that any of those reasons are genuine, real, or even moral, because they disagree with it. Like I said, they demonize instead of debating. Now, this is a call to all true classic liberals, to draw the line in the sand, as William F. Buckley Jr. did with Robert Welch and John Birch's. The left has gone too far. They are destroying the fabric of Western civilization, and they admit it. They're against Western civilization. I mean, there was even a chant way back in the 60s, hey, hey, ho, ho, Western civ has got to go. But liberals, for some reason, refuse to face this fact. And maybe there's a few reasons. It's scary to stand up to the left. It's dangerous. You could lose your friends. You could have rifts with family members. You could be excommunicated from your family. You could be shunned in social environments. I mean, you could even lose your job. And there are many college professors, liberal college professors, who have stood up to the left, and they have lost their jobs. People like Brett Weinstein and Heather Heing from Evergreen University in Oregon, Peter Boghossian, Portland State University, J. Angela Corlett, she was in San Diego State University, Sophie Nelson, she was at Christopher Newport University in Virginia. She mentioned the unnecessary topic, and there's no reason to bring up the fact of Superman's son coming out as bisexual. And she got fired for that. Now, this is Sophie Nelson, is a bisexual black woman, and she gets fired for talking about a fictitious character. This is the level of insanity that we've reached. The level of insanity of losing your job by critiquing a fictitious character. Now, again, I've been waiting for liberals to stand up and draw the line in the sand, and unfortunately, very few have, but some have, and they've just started in the last 7 to 10 years. People like Eric and Brett Weinstein, journalists like Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss and Michael Schellenberger, Jonathan Haidt, who's a social psychologist and professor, Steven Pinker, who's a psychologist and professor, Joe Rogan, Coleman Hughes, John McWhorter, Glenn Greenwald. Now, what do all these liberals have in common? They have never voted for a Republican in their life. Now, the mainstream media and organizations and the mainstream narrative have called all of these people alt-right. Now, when they called Glenn Greenwald, who's about as left as you can get, alt-right, there was a problem. And the reason why they called him alt-right was because Glenn Greenwald is a truth seeker. Now, I don't agree with many of his conclusions he's come to and his ideas that he has, but he is a truth seeker, so I respect him, and I support him. But because he speaks truth, because he seeks truth, and he doesn't back down from the left, and he criticizes the left for the extreme views that they have and destructive views that they have, so they have to demonize him. What about, people have asked me this, well, what about the far right? They're just as destructive, and they're just as dangerous. Now, I've heard this from many people, and it's an argument that makes people feel good about themselves because it makes them seem virtuous to themselves by being neutral. But it's a false argument, because here's why. If you're going to tell me that... Now, first of all, I want to agree. That statement is technically true. Yes, the far right, the far extreme right, is just as dangerous and just as destructive as the far left. But in order to... If you think that's a fair statement, or that's a fair comparison of what's going on right now, you're going to have to show me which institutions and structures that are the foundations of our society, foundations of this country, are controlled by the far right. Is journalism, is the mainstream media, news media, are they in control? Is the far right controlling them? Education, colleges and universities, social media companies, Hollywood, TV, commercials, medical institutions, public health, like CDC and NIH, are the mental health associations, are they run by the right? Corporate America? I mean, corporate America, they're trying to out-virtue signal each other by out-woking one another. Companies like Nike, United Airlines, Bud Light, we all know that one, Disney, Unilever. Sports have been taken over by the left. The right doesn't control sports. Now, many athletes might be, right of center or conservative, but the people who are, I'm talking about the controlling bodies and the controlling entities of these organizations, NFL, NBL, NBA, None of these people are run. None of these organizations are run by conservatives or the right. They're all run by leftists. Even federal law agencies, CIA, FBI, NSA. What does the right control? They control none of these things. They have all been captured by the left. Now, when the far right starts taking over all these and starts capturing and controlling and corrupting all these institutions like the left has, well, I will be the first to march in protest of them. You have my word, and it's on record. So please don't use this false narrative. Well, you know, the right's just as far right, it's just as dangerous as the far left. Yeah, that's true, but they're not in control of everything, and they're not causing the mass destruction of our society the way the far left is right now. So people have said, well, Frank, you know, you consider yourself a conservative. Yes, a modern-day American conservative, which is basically a classic liberal. And then the question comes, well, then what exactly are you trying to conserve? And my answer is very simple. I'm trying to conserve liberalism. Thank you for listening, everyone. And I will see you in the next episode.